How are you all? Yeah, long weekend. Weather's beautiful for those of you who love winter, which is me because I was blessed with such white skin. It serves itself better in winter than it does in summer. But yeah, it's great to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jen. It's a blessing to be here and to share with you this morning on the series, This Is Us. Something that is very closely connected to the DNA of the story that God is writing at Kingsway for many, 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 many years. So, first of all, just want to say thanks to Joe and the worship team. You are such a blessing to this church. How incredibly grateful we are for the willingness of, you know, the team to turn up and to serve, not just in worship, but I'm so grateful for this community, so grateful for the way God continues to encourage all of us in small and big ways to be a blessing to our family, to our friends, to this community. It's such a joy to be a part of seeing what God is unfolding in this context. So, yeah, thank you. You're a blessing. And Jeff and Robin, thank you. You are a blessing. Thank you so much. So today, I'm going to try my hardest, which those of you who know me know that this is probably not always achievable, but I'm going to try my hardest to keep the part of what I'm preaching on pretty short, because we have Tim. I'm tag teaming with Tim this morning, who will be sharing the kind of the second half of today's preach. I felt really prompted when Dave asked me to share on justice, to have like a bit more of a breadth of perspective, because I tend to navigate towards what's happening globally, and there's a lot, I think, a lot of different perspectives, and to try and get our heads around this idea of justice, I think it needs many different perspectives, because I think God is at work in all of us, and we all have our own life experiences and our own stories in the midst of how justice is being worked out in our lives, and the expression of that looks different, I think, across the generation. So super excited, Tim, and just, threw him in the deep end and super confident about what God's doing in his life, and just wanted to open up this space for him this morning. So let me pray. Lord, I just want to thank you. We have so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for in this tiny little part of the world that we live in the Sutherland Shire, for your sunshine, for the fresh air that we breathe, for our friends, for our families. God, thank you for your love for us. And as we try and just wrap our heads around this, Tim and I this morning, I just pray, Lord, above all, that your name would be honored and that we could give expression, Lord God, to justice in a biblical sense. And teach us, Lord. I pray that our hearts and our eyes would be opened to what it is you are doing, that we would celebrate what you're doing in this church. And Lord, that you'd also challenge us and call us, Lord, to greater measures of understanding how we live a life of justice in this context and in the lives and, that we're living here in the Sutherland Shire. So we just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're praying this morning, and if you don't hear anything else that I have to say in the next sort of 5-10 minutes, just hear these wise words from Jeff this morning when we were praying. His prayer said this: justice is seen when God's love abounds. It's a great summary, I think, of the idea of justice, of the idea of justice and how deeply it is connected to who God is in the transformational love that he offers to us and our neighbors in his desire for for reconciliation and restoration for all of us. So I love that. Justice is seen when God's love abounds. This morning I just want to present just a few things, at least from my own kind of journey with justice. For those of you who know, majority of the ministry or the calling that God has placed on me is not only serving here at Kingsway for the last 25 years, but it has also been in the context of working in the persecuted church. So I have seen a lot of injustice and wrestled with that at a deep level, wrestled with the reality of the fact that we live in a very broken world, wrestled with the extent and the depth of suffering in our world has both inspired me and challenged me to the core. There's been moments where it's shaped my faith so much I've been unsure about where to head or where to go. And so in some regards, I think where I've landed now I'm a little bit older is I know that God is love, and I know that there is no place dark enough where Jesus is not at work. Those two truths kind of hold a sense of hope for me, that in every situation, even in the devastation of the news that we're hearing about Gaza, God is still at work. It's a glimmer of hope, but even in the midst of that, justice continues to be unfolding in those spaces and places. But I want to go back and I want to just look at just a very common and popular scripture that most of us who have been in the church for a while would know. It's from Micah 6:8, and it's something that I think most of us are familiar with. But Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Micah was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and he was a prophet in a time where there was political instability, there was social inequality, and there was corrupt leadership. And the church, who is meant to be a voice of hope and a voice of justice in that place, was disconnected from living out these values. In fact, a lot of the time, the church was also accused of abusing the poor and the vulnerable within the context of that time. It's such a beautiful but challenging scripture, I think, because I think that what this scripture is, at least from my perspective, is not so much a condemnation but an invitation. An invitation to walk, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. And we know that justice means, at least from a biblical perspective, justice means treating people according to their God-given dignity, especially those who are vulnerable. And Scripture pays particular attention to widows, to orphans, to immigrants, and the poor. So how do we do justice? So if Micah is saying to us, you know, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God, how do we do justice? And I was praying this week, there was just a simple framework that I learnt at Bible college, and I felt prompted that just to try and fit a very big topic into this framework in the hope that it will encourage you and continue to stretch you, I suppose, in how you're doing justice in your faith journey with the Lord. So there's three kind of areas. There's justice me, there's me, there's us, and then there's them. The me is the justice begins within. We can see in the church at the time that the reality was for the church is that they were being obedient to the practices, I suppose, but they weren't transformed. Their hearts were not transformed. And so for justice, to do justice, it has to begin with the transformational love and power of God at work within our own lives. Allowing God to examine our hearts, our attitudes, our prejudices, our assumptions, and our actions. Often I think justice comes with a great kind of reward, in the sense that we see the transformational power of God's love and we hear the testimonies, but quite often it comes with a great sense of sacrifice. How do I treat people? Do I use my power, influence, and resources for the benefit or for the good of others? Do I speak truthfully? Do I show mercy? Do I notice people who are overlooked? So justice starts with our own personal transformation of learning to look and learning to listen. And I think for those of us who are on social media, I think this is especially important, because the news is bombarding us. Our threads are continually bombarding us with the reality of the challenges that our world is facing. And it's true. In that, we need to determine and discern, Lord, what is it that you are asking me to, how am I meant to be responding to this in my context, in this moment, and with the people who you've placed within my sphere of influence. Otherwise, it can become so debilitating that we become numb, that there's compassion fatigue, that the reality is that these issues are massive. So what is God speaking to you, and where are you noticing the Holy Spirit leading you in how you do justice in your context? Justice is also lived in community, and we see that the expression of Kingsway Care. Kingsway Care was set up as a missional arm for what we felt the Lord was wanting us to do in the community. And over the last 25 years, by the grace of God, we have seen the Lord move miraculously time and time again. But I have to be honest with you, it wasn't like at the beginning we were hoping that, or even thinking about that this was going to be, you know, a not-for-profit organization. We just as a team had a desire to serve our community, and we saw that people within our community had a need and they were homeless, and so we responded. And so over time we have lived out this aspect of justice in the context of Kingsway, and we've followed what God has asked us to do collectively. And we've all had a different role in that, whether it's pray or in the Tamarisk Kitchen now, or Southern Cross Kids turning up for kids who are vulnerable, or many different ways of an expression of how we live out justice in the context of our community. And the Bible consistently speaks to communities, not just to individuals. How do we create homes and workplaces and churches and community where people are valued and heard and included, and that they're protected? How do we work together with our finances and the way we steward our finances as a church? And how do we position ourselves to continue to be a voice? So it's the transformation of what God's doing in me, but also what God's doing in and through Kingsway community. And then the last thing is the systemic justice. And this is a more difficult one for them, the wider challenges that we have. So justice tends to look at the why behind. So I think our mercy, if you're going to put it in the context of, you know, our mercy would be to act kindly and to feed the poor in a practical sense. I think justice also asks the question of why are people vulnerable in the first place? And how do we start to break down the systems and the structures and the attitudes and the biases and the assumptions that are creating that narrative and support that fact that we keep people in vulnerable situations? So it's a bigger question that we ask, and we can see that there's a lot of different movements, like the MICA advocacy, who advocate to local councillors and governments and So there's systemic challenges that we face that the church, I believe, is to be a voice in the midst of those challenges as well. Tim Keller, in his book Generous Justice, says this, poverty and suffering are not always a result of individual choices, and I've seen this in the field. Sometimes systems, laws, institutions, and cultural practice create conditions that disadvantage people. And I know that with the reality is, and this is where, at least from my perspective, when I see the church and in the midst of persecution, advocating for the church, that for me is an expression of justice, of the global church working together so that that church within those dangerous places or wherever they are can be a light and a hope in the midst of that situation. But I want to stop here and also say that, you know, the practical thing that we can be involved in, at least from the systemic, so there's the us, the transformation of what God's doing in our lives. It's the working together in this context in Kingsway Community Church, and it's being a voice and a prayer for trusting and believing what God is doing outside the realm of our borders in Australia. All three work together as one. And I just want us to finish here, and then I'm going to give it over to Tim. I want us to finish here. There's just a very quick video that I want to play, and it's from the Middle Eastern regional director in the Middle East, just asking for prayer and giving a reality of what the situation is like there. And can I encourage you? I wholeheartedly believe and have seen time and time again that your prayers matter. It's the biggest tool that God has given us to fight for justice. Let's continue to be encouraged and encourage one another that every prayer we pray makes a difference. It makes a difference to those who are serving in the field, and I believe it makes a difference to us because it transforms our lives as we continue to trust God with these bigger issues that our world is facing. So let's have a listen, and then Tim's going to jump up after the video.
While I get this up, I'll give a brief introduction to who I am. Some of you may not have seen me around, some of you may have. I'm Tim. I'm married to the wonderful Georgia. You've probably had a conversation with her, seen her around. About me, I've grown up in church my whole life. Seen the Lord work in many different ways. Been able to experience his love and justice throughout my life. So it's been pretty awesome. And I know that we're a church that is very loving and accepting. And you will accept me for all my faults, including supporting the Bulldogs. So I pray that you give me just a little bit of grace with that. Funnily enough, the way that Jen put the way of justice is the way that I kind of focused my message as well. It's what's my justice? Like, what is in my heart that I love fighting for? How do we do that as a church? Like, what does that look like? And what are our practices? So my justice, what I like to fight for, is an equal opportunity to experience love. And why is that? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. For some context for the whole chapter, the writer is speaking about how we have all these amazing things. We have spiritual gifts. We can have faith that moves mountains, but without love, it's useless and meaningless. Love is essential when it comes to justice, as we get to portray God's nature. God is love. So when we are loving others, especially to those who are not in the faith, we reflect who God is, and that we can be or may be someone's first experience of God. For me, When I was 15, I led at my first camp. It was called Camp Tukli. It's quite similar to SCKC. It's for kids in broken homes and kids in the foster system. And it was a completely eye-opening experience, from going to a little sheltered Christian teenager who's been at home his whole life, to experience and hear about the hardships of these kids' lives was, yeah, truly heartbreaking. And I remember having this kid in my group. A lot of them were very misbehaving kids, like kicking walls kicking holes in the cabins and punching each other. And I just had this one beautiful boy who all he wanted to do was just sit next to you. That's all he wanted to do. He would smile at you. He'd be at the right place at the right time. He was the most beautiful kid ever. And dropping him off to his carer changed my life forever. He was so happy. We're talking about camp and the amazing things that happened and putting his bags away. And once that boot shut for his bags, he just started to break down. And he just bawled and bawled and bawled. And he came up to me and gave me the biggest hug. And he just kept saying to me, "Don't let me go home. Please don't let me go home. Please, please, please don't let me go home." And man, I was crying. I was a wreck, being 15 years old, being like, man, what am I meant to do? Like, I feel so powerless. Like, I wish I could just take you home and love you all that I can, but I just couldn't. And after that day, I dedicated my life to serving those who experience less love. It caused me to continue leading on that camp, to lead in other camps, and to lead in many other roles. It might seem a little bit crazy to you guys, but me, being at the ripe old age of 22 and just full of all of life's experience, I am still constantly learning what it means and what it looks like to love others in ways that reflect Jesus and bring justice. In the church, love is most important as we are a direct reflection of Jesus. If we go to Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:6 says, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied." I'm going to be very real with you guys. Coming to this church, I was a little scared. I had come from a church that really, really practiced community well. New people were so warmly welcomed, and they had many, many ways that they connected within their community. But coming here, I have experienced that and more. And the more I hear about Kingsway Care and Tamarisk and the church over in Phnom Penh and having connections with Sea Change, the more I grow excited to be a part of a community that loves to love others, to serve, to bring hope, to bring love, and to bring justice. Going back to that Matthew 5:6, being in a community that practices justice and is unified on the goal of representing Jesus, we stay hungry together and we strive to see the blessing of which God offers us, which is seeing others come and known to be loved by Christ, whether that's family, friends, or strangers. So what can we do to encourage and to practice justice? We're going to head over to Matthew 25:34-40. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it to me.'" As we have family, friends, neighbors, and strangers, we have endless opportunities to practice justice and represent Jesus and our church. And I've seen this in my life. We had a youth rally quite a few weeks ago for youth group. Us and a few churches in the Illawarra got together and just hosted this youth rally. And I just got prompted by the Lord to invite a youth that I met in Jervis Bay when I did a year mission gap down there. And he's never stepped foot in church before, doesn't know the Lord. And I just said, hey man, like, we're just having this rally. I think it would be really cool. You should come. And he was a little bit awkward, as most teenagers are at the start. Didn't know anybody except me, so he was a bit quiet to himself. But he sent me a message afterwards, and this was his testimony. He said, even though I had no idea what was going on, I still really had a good time. I definitely will consider getting more involved with this in the future. I couldn't believe how friendly people were. To not know me and to do small things like smile at me is something that I've never seen in my life before from anyone. Doing the small things impact people in ways that we will never know. And maybe it's easy to do this for the people that we do know, the people we serve each week and week after at church. But perhaps God is prompting us to ask, what does it look like to do this for the people that we don't know? To be okay with the fact that we may not hear or see the stories of impact in people's lives. I'll get the worship team back up if that's okay. To finish, I just want to encourage us. I want you to reflect on this verse that I'm about to read as we go into our weeks. I want you guys to ponder on the ways that you can show justice in others' lives, both those people that you see here on the regular or whether it's family or friends, but also those in the community that could be impacted in small ways, even if it's just a meaningful smile. John chapter 3, verse 18 to 19 says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we'll be confident when we stand before God. We're going to go into a time of communion now. Feel free to come up as you feel led. There's some juice there and some bread. But I'd really like you guys to reflect on your own life, where you can see justice, where you can bring justice. But also would really strongly encourage you guys to pray for each other and one another, whether it's someone you're comfortable with or maybe it's someone new. Just to pray for maybe it's confidence in their life to bring justice to those people that they don't know, or maybe it's just to see justice in their life. Maybe there's some injustices in family or friendships that are happening and they just need prayer. So I encourage you guys to pray for one another. I know that it's pretty new, but we just started a little prayer card outside, just out here in the foyer. Jen's got these cards. It's pretty anonymous. You just write your prayer request and it gets put into a box, and then our wonderful team behind the scenes will pray for you guys on the things that are going on. So even if you don't feel comfortable with sharing to a person directly where you need some prayer for justice in your life, I do encourage you to write on these cards and to seek some prayer. I'm just going to pray for us to wrap up, and then please come and grab some juice and some bread. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for how gracious you are, for how loving you are, and how faithful you are, Lord Jesus. We just pray, Lord Jesus, that we get to see justice not only in our community here, Lord Jesus, in our friends and family, but on a global scale, that your hand, that your presence would just be seen throughout the globe, through wars, through famine, through poverty, Lord Jesus, but also in our local community, through homelessness, through domestic violence, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you equip us, that you give us confidence and strength to be able to serve our community well, Lord Jesus, whether it's the people in this room or the people out in the streets, Lord Jesus. I just pray that you continue to pour into us, Lord Jesus, so that we can pour back into our community, that we can pour into the people and just be a complete reflection of who you are, Lord Jesus, that we will just be able to reflect warm welcomes, that would be able to reflect love, that would be able to reflect justice, Lord Jesus. So we pray for this in your name. Amen.